This message is presented to you by Christian Celebration Center. Our prayer is that you enjoy this recording and it is a blessing to your life. You can find all of our resources by visiting cccmidland.com.
Good morning, everybody. I feel like I'm real far back, but maybe I'm not here. Well, everybody get a good night's sleep, ready to receive and learn this morning. All three of you, amen. You know, there were these four Texas redneck guys loved to go hunting together, but they couldn't stand one guy, old Jim Bob. And boy, they were going to the cabin and thinking, oh no, who's going to bunk with Jim Bob? He's the worst snorer in the world. We'll never get sleep. And his name was Joel, And so the first guy goes in, he wakes up the next morning, they all come to coffee, and sure enough, man, he comes out, he's just hair, disheveled, eyes, bloodshot. He goes, man, I can't take it. He said that he started snoring right away. He says, all I could do was sit up on the edge of my bed and watch Jim Bob, just stare at Jim Bob all night long. The guy said, it's your turn tonight. Next morning, that guy comes out, sure enough, man, he looks like he just had a horrible night, bloodshot eyes. He said, I can't take it. I can't stand sleeping with Jim Bob. He said, all I could do was sit up on the edge of my bed and watch Jim Bob all night. Well, Fred, he was an old country dude. He says, I'll bunk with Jim Bob tonight. He said, I got this handled. Next morning, Fred comes out. He's just as, bright and vibrant. They said, how'd you sleep? He said, I slept great. He said, man, it was great. They said, how did you do it? He says, well, here's what I did. He said, Jim Bob, it's time for bed. So he said, I went over and he said, Jim Bob, it's time for you to get in bed. He said, I patted Jim Bob on the bottom. He said, now get in bed. And he said, I tucked him in and I kissed Jim Bob on the forehead. He said, you know what happened? He said, Jim Bob sat on the edge of his bed and watched me all last night. So I hope you are alert. Is everybody alert? All right, reach over and kiss old Jim Bob on the forehead and stay awake. Amen. I have just really been looking forward to this. This has been what I'm going to teach this morning. And, Pastor, I don't have a watch with me. Does somebody else have a watch I can... You got one? Let me use yours because I don't see a watch clock around here because I got to hang on to the time here. And is this all you got? Somebody got a Rolex we could use here? No, I'm just kidding. It's a Timex. Oh, okay. $49, there you go. It is paid for, amen. This series, Life's Work, is something that really was transformational for our church and for me. And it was not original with me. You know, I'm just surprised at who you network with. The idea started with a little country preacher in Kansas that got me stirred up about this. And it just kept growing and growing and growing and growing and growing and growing. So how many of you realize that everybody in this room has something to offer somebody else beside them? And I want to extend this to you. I won't be able to get through all of this because this was a four-week teaching series. It's called Life's Work. And a couple of things I'm going to be dealing with is a couple of things I won't be able to deal with is siesta, the power of learning how to rest. We confuse busyness with productivity. In fact, our approval is wired to how busy we are sometimes. Have you ever met some people in the workplace when you meet them, and they hadn't gotten nothing done? And they always want to act like they're super busy? You know, I told our team, you know, you should be able to get this stuff done in the time that you're allotted. And we really need to talk about how we manage our time and how we learn how to take the right breaks. Because when you recreate, you recreate. If you want to be a creative person, you have to know how to take siestas and rest and how to use them right. So I dealt with that. And then payday. What's the big deal of wanting the paycheck in any way? What's the end game that God really has for us? I won't be able to get through all of it, but it's up there. It's available. This is $20. If you want to get the downloadable card, I only have a downloadable card for this series only called Life's Work. You just go to the website, download it to your main device, your main computer, and then you can share it with any other device you have, up to as many as you want. You can share it, okay? And it comes in video form and in audio form. So if you want to listen to it while you're working or you want to watch it, you can get it in both forms. And this one's only $15, the other one's $20, and it's really easier to use. And there are three series up there, and if you want to be blessed by it, they're up there handling it this morning for me. And if you want all three of the series, it's $50 if you want all that. It'll really be a blessing to you. And I promise you, I listened to my series last night. I was listening, studying, and I was listening to it, so I'd be ready for this morning, and I wrote myself a check for $1,000. So it's really good. Colossians 3:23 is the main text that I want you to really focus toward. And I want you to see what the Apostle Paul, under the power of the Holy Spirit, wrote. He says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. Look at this. He's talking about work. There's a reward from God. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. How many of you thank God you know who the real CEO is? And how many remember the song? How many remember the song that Johnny Paycheck used to sing? I'm sorry, I keep going to all these songs. You remember the song? Take this job. Don't say the rest. But this is what I call this teaching. I call it, take this job and love it. Absolutely love what God's given you. And I really do believe that could the next revival and next awakening really happen when we understand the power of what the Holy Ghost is trying to teach us. Because when you look at the polls, this is pretty interesting, some of the things that I've discovered. Full-time U.S. workers work an average of 47 hours per week. 40% work up over 50 hours per week. But here's what they feel about their jobs in America. 50% of employees really don't like the work they're doing. 50%. In addition to the 50%, an additional 20%, get ready for this, intentionally muck up the works at their job because they resent it so much. They are doing stuff purposely because they just don't like their supervisor. They despise it. Now you think about this. 70% of Americans do not like what they're doing. They resent their job. I'm going to tell you, this could be the reason why Christians aren't being financially blessed and we are not seeing the harvest of salvation. And I really believe this. I really do believe this. Now, just think about that. Think about it. Only 30% of the people probably in this room really, really, really passionately love what they're doing is what they're saying. Think about that. Now, you really got to, you know, it's really got to be tough when you dislike something that takes up a third of your life. I mean, do y'all really think God hates us so much that he says, here's what I'm going to do. They're born again, they're saved, and I'm going to give them something that's going to mess up a third of their life. I'm going to make them hate a third of their life. Do you think God really saved us to hate a third of our life? I really don't believe this, that here's the deal, okay? You go to high school, you go to the counselor tells you what you do, you graduate from high school, maybe you go to college, maybe you go to a tech school, you find out what you want to do, and then here's the cycle of life. You get up in the morning and you drink your coffee, you go to the work at 9, you get out at 5, you come back, do the drill all over again. I just don't think God intended it for that. But look at the culture, look at the songs, you know, or look at the slogans. TGIF, thank God it's Friday, right? You know, look at the songs. You know, everybody's working for them. Oh, y'all so spiritual, you don't know those songs, you know. Come on, look at the songs. You know, you get up every morning from the alarm clock's warning. Team to the city. Right? There's a whistle up above us, people pushing, people shoving, and the girls. And if your train's on time, you can get to work by 9 and start your slaving job to get your pay. And look at the words. Just look at the words. You're just a piece of a machinery. You're a cog in the wheel. You just drudgery, drudgery, drudgery. That is the mentality of the world, and it should never seep into the heart of a Jesus Christ follower, because something profound and powerful, and I really hope that you'll see this. I mean, because it can be frustrating. Let's not ignore why people get frustrated. I mean, come on, some of you are overworked. There's no doubt. I mean, let's talk about the realities. I realize there's some of you have too much work. Some of you have a supervisor, a boss that is impossible to please because they don't have their own ego intact. They're not a strong leader. I mean, think about it. Some of you work with unbearable coworkers. You got people that you're trying to motivate, and they reflect your position in leadership that you've got to deal with. How many know we have, there are ominous and foreboding issues about work that we're not going to deny. But I can tell you this. God intends work to be purposeful and pleasing to our lives. Just fill that in there, because I want you to go back. So we're going to go over this journey for just a few minutes today, and I think it's really going to bless you. Here are some things that I want you to realize just for a moment. Here's some things I want you to realize. The first thing, the opening statement of creation. When you open up your Bible, even the person here just got saved, you know where the book of Genesis is. When you open the book of Genesis, here's what you're going to discover. You ready for this? First words, you're going to find God is a worker. God is a worker. Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning, watch this, God did what, everybody? He created the heavens and the earth. Now watch this. And you just read the rest of it. And God's voice, he says, light, and there's light. Then light fills the darkness. And then vegetation fills the land. And then fish fill the ocean. And creatures fill the forest. And birds start flying. And there's this repeated theme that you'll find in creation. Here's the repeated theme. With each thing he does, it gets more glorious, more powerful, displaying who he is, his glory, and his splendor with each thing that he's creating. Watch this. When you open up the scripture, the first thing you find is God is a worker. First thing you find. Look at this. Then God introduces this new theme. Look at this new theme. Now, I want you to just kind of look at this and kind of circle some things. Look at Genesis 1:26. It says, then God said, let us make man in our image. So there's something about me that's going to be inside of them. Something in you that's just like God is what he's saying. In our likeness, let them rule over, circle that, the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. Now look at this. There is in no other part of creation, not the birds, not the light, not the trees. There is no other place in creation where God says, when we make you, when I make them, I'm going to make them in our image. No other place. So what does that mean? When God says, of anything else, I made you in my image. What does that mean? Here's the deal. There's stuff about us that reflects stuff about him. That's not in your notes, but you should put it in there. There's stuff about me that reflects stuff about him. He says, I'm here creating, I'm fashioning, I'm making things. So what is God like, everybody? So if there's stuff about us that reflects stuff about him, what is God like? So here's what we do. If we were asked a question, okay, everybody, give me a word that describes God, you would probably say the things that are in the scripture and sung in songs. Here's what you would say. He's love. And we go, yeah, he's love. He's merciful. He's merciful. Somebody said, he's majestic. Oh, yeah, majestic. He's holy. Oh, holy. He's glorious. Kind. He's kind. Look, he didn't kill me. He's compassionate. And all these songs start displaying the attributes and the glory of God. But have you heard a song or somebody say, oh, he's a great employer. Oh, God, he's a laborer. You never hear anybody write a song or in church say, oh, he's such a great laborer. What a worker. But the one thing we miss is the first attribute you see of God when you open up his word. And the first attribute you find is that he is a worker. But we have no songs about it. We don't talk about God the employer. We seldom hear about it. Because when you see him open up the word, what do you find him doing? He's creating, he's forming, and he's bringing into order. He's working. How many know work is not a dirty four-letter word? Oh, somebody say amen. In fact, here's what Jesus said. Look what Jesus said. He says, my Father is always at his work. to this very day, and I too am what, everybody? Working. Now, if that's not enough to convince you, watch this. There's stuff about you that should display the stuff about God. And one thing that we are missing is 70% of Americans do not like a part of the attribute of God. When you hate your work, you hate an attribute that is God, the worker. And we'll come lift our hands in church, but we'll have a sorry attitude when we walk into the marketplace where he displayed his first glory. He was creating, he was forming, he was organizing, he was doing all this stuff, he was working. Now look at Genesis chapter 2, verse 2. Look at this. By the seventh day, God had finished the work. Oh, let's just say that word so it gets, it's a worship word. Everybody say work. He had been doing. On the seventh day, he rested from all his work. And God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the of creating what he had done. He mentions work three times in these two verses. Now, the Hebrew word translated work here is used only four times. Listen to this. That work, Hebrew word work there, is only translated four times in the entire Old Testament to describe the work of God. Only four times. The word work, however, is used 151 times in the Old Testament to describe the ordinary work of ordinary people like you and me. So what is the Holy Spirit saying here? The Holy Spirit is showing us that the author of Genesis wanted us to make sure that there is a connection between God's work and what I'm doing. That when I'm actually working, I am displaying and carrying on what God wanted to carry on. So here's the deal. Since God is a worker, I am a worker. I work. I love it. Genesis 3, story of Adam and Eve. You know the story. The serpent comes along and they want to partake of the fruit that is forbidden. Adam and Eve's rejection of God. You know the story, commanded in the results of curses coming upon Adam, okay? And Adam, it directly related to his work. So look what it says. Let's go to chapter 3, Genesis 3, 17. It says, "Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you will eat of it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow you will eat your food until you return to the dust, since from it you were taken, for dust you are, and dust you will return." Now, we have taken that scripture, people have taken it, and said, the reason I hate my job is because God says it's cursed. That is a total, total misinterpretation of the scripture. That work is a curse. That because I got to work hard, it's curse. No. Friends, listen to this. Work began as a gift from God. It is a gift from God. See, before Adam sinned, watch this. Before Adam sinned, perfect relationship, him and God, they're just chilling out. It's just him and God. He's naming things. He's talking with God, telling him what he did. It's just him and God hanging out with the orangutans. It's just a great time. And look what happens. In a perfect world, watch this, before sin, look at Genesis 2:15. It says, "The Lord took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to," what, everybody? To work it. Watch this, "and take care of it." The curse, watch this, friends, the curse was not that you have to work. That is not the curse. How many know when we get to heaven, we're still going to be working? Why? Because it's an attribute of God. It's an attribute of God that work is displaying his glory. Watch this. Listen, the curse was that difficulties of work would increase. Watch this. Difficulties of work would increase. How many have children in this room? Raise your hand. God bless you. Now, how many know your child is not a curse? But I'm positive my kids are not a curse. They are a blessing from God. Now listen to this. But the Bible tells us that difficulties would be added to childbirth. It didn't say that the child was a curse. Part of the curse is that difficulty would come to childbirth. Just as your difficulties come with the childbirth, it doesn't mean that the child is a curse. It's the part of the curse is that difficulties come with the childbirth. So how many know work is not a curse, but there are difficulties. The curse is difficulties come with the work. So there was work in a perfect Garden of Eden because God is a worker. And because God made you in his image, guess what happens? Because I am a worker, in my work, I actually reflect and display the glory of God. Some of you will never get your friends that you work with that cuss and carry on to ever walk into this church. But every time you walk into that workplace, you can bring them into a worship service by the way you work. Some of you are walking in universe camp, oh, my pastor's such a heathen. Can you believe he believes in all this stuff that's going on and all this crazy, and he doesn't believe there's a God, he's antagonistic. But did you know you can actually bring him into your worship service by the way you conduct yourself and your studies, your work, to do the very best, to make the very best grade that he's impressed, that even though they're Christian and I've hassled them, look how they still respect me and honor me and carry out their work. Could you just be inviting them into a worship service? Think about that. Maybe the reason the world isn't changed is because we're expecting all those people to come into here when God says, I want you to bring my presence through work and display my attribute through yourself. Wow. Wow. Because what was God's purpose? What was really God's purpose? Listen, our work advances God's work. It advances it. When we work, understanding that, we are literally advancing his glory. Now look at Genesis 1. Okay, we find God taking what was, watch this. He was taking what was formless and void, and he brings it to life. Watch this, he brings it to life. So some of you will walk into businesses and companies where it's in chaos, disorder, other employees are fighting with other employees. Your presence in there can actually bring order to a place that's full of chaos, where you're bringing things into order and into shape to help the business, the company, the attitude of people literally be transformed when you walk into that place, the way you carry the glory of God. Now, when you look at this, the word used when God was forming Adam is another human word. Listen, it is another human word for human. It's another word for human work. And that word for human work that was used for when God formed Adam, watch this, it means craftsman. It means artisan. It means a potter, literally forming. God is saying that with your ability, you are forming, you are an artisan, you are shaping things by your work that you bring in, understanding that I'm doing this for God. Listen, there may be moms in this place. You say, well, I don't have a job. You've probably got the greatest job. You're sitting there forming the attitude of your child. You're forming the spirit and the nature and the character of your child. You are like an artisan. You're shaping them and molding them. While your husband or your wife may be out there doing another job, you're doing one of the greatest works. But you know what happens sometimes? I've watched parents resent having to raise their kids. Because of the pressure of the culture says, if you really want to be something, you got to have your degree and you ought to be doing something for yourself. When the greatest contribution you could ever give to this culture is not money and not a degree. The greatest contribution you get is that you shaped and formed your child into the image of Jesus Christ. It is the greatest contribution you can give. Oh, somebody say amen. We ought to fall out on that. Amen. I'm telling you, Presbyterians would be falling out on that right now. Amen. But seriously, but when you hate, I got to stay here and change his diaper. I got to raise this kid. Well, you go over to the office and talk to all your friends. You are saying, I despise the work that is the attribute of God. Wow. No one is exempt from this. Not a student is exempt from this. When you walk and say, I hate this school, I hate this teacher, you are resenting your job is that classroom. Your work and showing up on time and getting the assignment done is your work displaying the glory of God. Could it be that the reason why a college professor resents Christians more is because of the way Christians treat their work in the classroom? Ah, good preaching, Pastor Sam. Amen. But it's true. Because what happens is our work is literally advancing the work of God when you step into that school, you step into that room with your child, you step into that workplace or the corporate boardroom. Now watch, God begins his creative work. I want you to see this. Let's go to Genesis 2:9, okay? Are y'all still with me this morning? All right, good, good, because this is all I got. Okay, it says this, and the Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground. Trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. Now watch. Then he places Adam in the garden. Everybody say the garden. Okay, he puts Adam in the gardens, and he wants Adam to do this. I've given you this. Now I want you to expand on my glory that I have given you. On the work, the attribute I've given you, my work, I put it in your hands. Advance it. Now look at verse 15. We read it before. And the Lord took man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. Now, just FYI for all the brothers here, except especially all the single brothers. Remember this, before God gave Adam a wife, he gave him a job. Look at all the girls. Yeah, yeah. Praise God, Pastor Sam. That's what he did, to display his glory. Watch this, watch this. Now, Genesis 1:28, watch what God does. Remember, when I'm working, I am stewarding. See, you think it's about getting the 401k plan and making sure I have enough for retirement, and it's about paying the bills. Listen, folks, life's got to be more than just working for the weekend. I'm sorry, but what I do, it's got to be more than just a paycheck. There's got to be something bigger than this, and the bigger part is the glory of God is reaching a culture that has turned its back on the glory of God. And look what he says. He says to Adam, watch this, verse 28, Genesis 1:28, watch this. And God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful, circle that. Watch this. And increase, circle that, in number. Fill, circle that, the earth, and subdue it, circle that. And rule, circle that, over the fish and the sea and the birds of the air and over every living thing that moves on the ground. Here's what God says. I've already started this work. I've started the company. Now you increase it, you make it number, you start filling this place with what? Show my glory through what you're doing as I hand you the work, an attribute of my hands. Look at this. When your intention is to increase your child, to fill that classroom with the best you can give it, to go into that office with some of the most roughest people that would cuss you out at the drop of a hat, but to be able to fill that place, he's saying, you are literally carrying on and advancing my work in the middle. Watch this. When it's chaos, void, and empty, and it's a mess, I send you in there to display my glory. Think about your work as the most powerful act of worship that changes an unbelieving world. So he's saying, cultivate where you are. Produce. God will give you it. God will give you wisdom on how to put the structure back together over the department that you're serving in. Or you may not even be the leader of that. How many know you don't need a title to lead? I got people in my church that have no title, no pastor, but they give me the greatest ideas because they're trying to offer a solution. How many know those kind of people get elevated? God says advance it, promote it. See, our work continues to shape this world into what God envisioned. That's what it's doing. To continue to shape what God was intending to do. Our work continues to shape the world into which God envisioned. And it all began with the process in Genesis 1. So here's the deal. Your work is your garden to cultivate. It reflects God's glory. Just say this. Say, my work is my garden. Say that. My work is my garden. Some of you are going, Pastor, my work is a compost heap. That's where I'm going to work. That's what Jesus walked. That's what God walked into. Chaos, formless, void, people fighting, people hating each other, people that don't have leadership skills and are intimidated by anybody that succeeds around them. He says, that's what I walked into. And he says, the first thing I displayed was I started creating. I started fashioning. And he says, the stuff that is in me is the same spirit that's in you to walk into places and display my glory. He says, that's exactly what I want to do to you. See, sometimes our work, folks, how many know sometimes our workplace needs to be transformed? How many, listen, honestly, how many have some workplaces that need transformed? See, a lot of people. So here's what God's saying. The sin culture has invaded your workspace. It's invaded your workspace. That's why everybody is threatened and intimidated and carrying on like they do, cheating the company. Because the sin culture's invaded it. But how many of you know that God didn't just come to transform people's lives to get saved? How many know he also came to transform places, workplaces where sin has gotten into the work that was his creation and his gift? So there's some of you that need to see it transformed. Sometimes we see our workplaces as needing transformation, and we don't deny that. But God says, I have sent you in there to bring my presence. Now I want to show you something that's really interesting as I did this study. Very interesting. You know the words that God spoke to Adam that I just read to you in Genesis 2:15? I want you to, you can go study this if you want. He uses the word work it and take care of it. These words in the Hebrew are the exact same words consistently used throughout the Old Testament to describe the ministry offered by the priests in the temple when they would worship God. Exact same words. What does that mean? That's the reason why God says you are a chosen generation, a holy nation, a royal priesthood that would display the glory of God. Too many times we're going, man, if I could just do what Brother Leon does, just worship and be in the presence of God all the time, then I'd really be there. Boy, if I could be a pastor like Sam, then I'd really be a pastor like Pastor Joe and Pastor John. Boy, then I'd really, boy, just to be that. And you minimize that. God says the same work that I told Adam to go work it in the garden to cultivate it is the same word he used for the priests when they would minister before God. What I'm telling you is that what we do in the ministry, what you do is equally important to display the glory of God. God says, my anointing is on you. But when people hate that attribute of God, you never become the royal priesthood that God intends. Wow. How many of you know you're a priest? You're a royal priesthood. That's what he's telling you. He says you're bringing that in. So Adam's labor in the garden is no different than the ministry that was in that temple. Same ministry. God says the glory is coming through. The glory is coming through it. Work is an act of spiritual service to the Lord. And in your garden, you are displaying it. Go back to Colossians 3:23 again. Go back to that first text. You are displaying his glory. So, remember, God is a worker. Since God is a worker, I'm a worker. My work advances God's work. So I just really started going crazy over this. God just started dealing with me. And we had folks in our church that just resented their jobs. I know one lady in particular, she works for a transportation company. She is the only Christian in a completely Muslim company in Grand Rapids. And it has been rough on her. I have other people in my church that work for Muslim companies. And they say, Pastor, when they know you're a Christian, sometimes it can just be brutal. And they give the promotions to everybody else. So I started telling people, I said, I don't care if you're a mom. Your workplace is in your home cultivating, showing the glory of God. You're anointed. You're just as an Old Testament priest to minister to your family. To dad, you're there to minister to your family. To a student, you're there walking into that culture that's dark. You just walk in and you become a priest of God, displaying your attitude, displaying your wisdom. All of that is displaying the glory of God. You're a supervisor, you're a CEO of a company, you're displaying the glory of God. And so I told them, I said, I want us to start speaking the moment you pull into the parking lot of your university, or you cross the threshold into that office, or you cross that threshold into Walmart, you're working as a checker. I want you to start speaking and making a declaration, because words are powerful, and I want you to start declaring this. And so for 30 days, we did this every single day, and some have continued to do it. And this is the declaration. I declare God's favor and prosperity. Can y'all read those little words there? Okay. I'm just going to, I'm just gonna read it to you out loud. I declare God's favor. Can you zoom that in? Is that possible? Bless your heart. But you're doing God's work over there, aren't you? You're displaying His glory, right? All right, here we go. What's your name? Sarah. Didn't I meet you yesterday? Bless your heart. Thank you for serving, Sarah. Okay, here we go. I'm going to read out loud. They walk in. This is what they said. I declare God's favor and prosperity over my workplace. I declare God's blessing over my boss and coworkers. I declare that this will be a place of joy, peace, and unity. I declare safety and health for employees and their family members. I declare that my workplace will value what God values. Now, I want everybody in this here today and everybody in this church to get it. If you're an owner of a company and you've got, or you have other Christians that you work with that you know have no problem you talking about Jesus, you get together and start doing this in your company. And you begin to watch the transformation that will take place. The transformation. You just start it with what believers will be willing to join you. Just start doing it. Do it with what Christians you got in your classroom and say, hey, man, would you join me in this? And we're going to start declaring this over our place. Start speaking that. Now, what we've done is I've given this copy, and it's on the church's website. And you can download it to all your mobile devices. So when you get, you can have it on your phone, and it can be the cover on your phone, and you can start walking in and start saying, I declare God's favor and prosperity over more. I don't care if they're a bunch of heathens. I don't care if it's a Muslim or a Hindu or a company. It doesn't make any difference. I want you to start declaring this over places that are formless and void. Come on, how many know the Holy Spirit was hovering over the earth the whole time? It says, and the Spirit hovered over the earth, and the earth was that form of void. You know what the Spirit was waiting for? Do you know what the Spirit was waiting for? The Spirit was over the chaos already. The Spirit was over it already. Do you know what the Spirit was waiting for? For the Word to be spoken. And when God said light, light began to happen. Some of you are in places and said, yeah, I hate this place. I wish I'd get us a better, different supervisor. Here's what you do. The Spirit is already hovering over those unbelievers. It's hovering over those companies. It's just waiting for a believer to walk in and speak. This is what's going to happen in the name of Jesus Christ. Start speaking that. I don't care if they're trying to steal your promotions. They're intentionally trying to sabotage your projects. Start speaking, because you are the priest, and the stuff that is in God is the stuff that's inside of you. Whew. So here's why. Let me tell you why you'll see God bring transformation. So download that on there. And I don't think I have enough cards for today, but I got about 150 cards up there at the table. And you can just grab one free, okay? If you want to grab from some of your employees, or just tell your employees to go to the church website and download that to their devices, okay? You can even do it now. Don't do it while I'm talking, because what I got to say is really good. Okay. Let me give you this last thing. Our work partners with God's work. Because you are in partnership with God, folks. Genesis 1:28, and God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground. This was God's. Watch, you know what this was? When God put them in there and he spoke that, he says, here's what I want you to do. I'm going to bless you. Now increase. Multiply in number. Fill the earth with my glory. Display my attribute of work. Display my glory in what you do. It was God commissioning the first Adam. That was his commissioning ceremony to go into the garden and change it. When we end this today, we are going to have a commissioning service, and we're going to lay hands on every single one of you today. And just like the first Adam was sent, the second Adam was commissioned. And how many know Jesus said, go ye into all the world? He commissions us, and we're going to commission you today. There's going to be something that's going to come over you different about how you view your children, your job, your school. We are going to invade the space with God's people showing the glory through their work. Now watch this. He commissioned them, and he says, I'm going to partner with you. You're a co-regent with me, is what God was saying. God did not wander off after he told Adam to do it. He didn't just wander off. No, he stays with him. He walks in the cool of day, partnering with him, saying, how'd you handle what I've already given you? How'd you extend my glory? How'd you extend it through the work? Did you know even the Godhead works in partnership? The triune God does not work separate of each other. They all work in partnership. Look what Jesus said. Look at John 5:17. He says, my Father is always at his work to this very day. And I too am working. Partnership. Then Jesus invites us to partner with God. Look in John 9:4. As long as it is day, we must do the work for him who sent us. He's asking us to invite him in partnership. Now watch what God says about your garden. Ready for this? Look what the Apostle Paul wrote through the Holy Spirit. Look what he says. Ephesians 2:10. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good what? Which God prepared in advance for us to do. In the daily grind, here's what God says. In your daily grind, he says, let me partner with you and see a transformation as a priest of God, doing that ministry and releasing the greatest praise you could release. Of not that he's just holy and merciful and beauty and majestic and love, but he is work. And he partners with me in his glorious scene as I cultivate my garden where I am. And it's not just for souls. How many know when Jesus died, he didn't just die to redeem souls, folks? How many know that was his number one deal, to redeem us? But he didn't just redeem us. How many know he healed us? Come on. How many know he put things that were in chaos into order? And he doesn't just save you, but guess what he saves? He can save your work and redeem it to show his glory. So, back to the lady. She walked in every day. She worked in the corporate office of this Muslim company. I just read this testimony 2 weeks. This has been several months that we've gone through this. And she started declaring this over this transportation company every day. She is the only Christian in an all-Muslim company. And she starts speaking that. The business, this is not a spirit-filled, tongue-talking company. These are Muslims. The company starts turning around. They got more and more work, more and more work, more and more work, more and more work, and more and more work. We had the commissioning service. And she said, I kept doing this, and I kept praying it over. Even though, she said, they were Christian and would have nothing to do with me. Never talk about faith in Jesus, nothing. She said, I kept doing it, and kept doing it, kept doing it. After the commissioning service, she walks in. And they don't know why the company has turned around. They don't know why. But it's this believer speaking it over this place. She walks in there, and they look at her, and the owner of the company says, what's the matter with you? She goes, what do you mean? He says, well, your attitude, everything, what's happened to you? She goes, well, she goes, if you don't mind, can I tell you what I've been doing for the last several days? She shows him this card. I've been asking God every day to do this for you and this company. He wanted to know when she started. When she started is when it started changing. He goes, you keep doing that. Okay? Now, she's been taking us on this journey for several months now with this owner of the company. I'm going to keep going on. I'm telling you, you think that it is impossible. You listen closely. Could we be missing the greatest revival because of our attitude toward work? She comes in and he says, what happened to you? This was the last final deal that we had with this. She goes, well, our pastor has been teaching about work, and they anointed us where they put this oil on our head. And she's a fairly new believer. And sent us into our garden, and that God would bless and that his glory would be seen. Well, they said, she goes, why are you asking what's wrong with me? He says, there's a glow around your head. He goes, I don't know what you're doing, just keep doing this. So then she started coming in. And they said, your pastor taught this? So every Monday morning, they would stop all the employees and say, tell us what your pastor taught this week. Tell us what he taught. And so they're not hearing that there's this Christians that are despise Muslims. They're hearing this Jesus wants to show you himself and his love. So she said, Pastor, then she comes, she goes, Pastor, I don't know what to do. She goes, a couple of the employees are sitting in the back of the church. They won't sign anything. They won't tell us they're there. They just start showing up. See, the glory out there in that marketplace started attracting them, the glory, and they start coming in the building. She comes back. She writes me another letter. She goes, Pastor, this is getting crazy. She said, this is getting crazy. They're asking more questions. She goes, I feel like how the disciples felt in the early church. She said, they're asking me, how's this? Tell us, Jesus, what is this? What is this? Why are you this way? And she said, I'm trying to tell them. So then she says, sometimes I can't explain what you said on Sunday and I can't remember it all. So she said, here's what we're doing now on Wednesdays. We put all our cell phones down, and if I can't explain it, we all together in the company start watching what was recorded on the live stream, and we watch your whole sermon. Okay? Get this. So she says, so then it starts going. She goes, Pastor, you're going to believe this. He says, you've been praying this over our company? He says, okay. She said, they ended the staff meeting, 30 employees in there. 30 employees. She said, we have to keep hiring. We don't know what to do with the work. It's so much. She said, we walk in the place. He says, okay, we're going to close today. He said, this time, he calls out Luann. He says, I want you to pray. I want you to pray when we finish. She says, I finished praying for this Muslim company in the name of Jesus Christ. She said, Pastor, they keep asking the questions. Now, watch this. She said, now we have prayer meeting every Monday and every Wednesday, and I'm leading it. She works in the accounting department, everybody. She works in the accounting department. Don't tell me. I'm telling you, could it be the reason why the revival has happened is because we despise one of the greatest attributes of God, and it is work. And it's holy. That grade is holy. You don't just flippantly just say, I'm not going to study. It's holy unto God. Wow. Doesn't stop there. She wrote me this past week and she said, Pastor, I want you to know. And these are the words from the owner. She says, there are now 6 people in that company that have given their lives to Jesus Christ. 6. And the owner of the company said, I want you to know that this is no longer a Muslim company. This is a Christian company because I've given my life to Jesus Christ. No lie. No lie. No lie. It doesn't end there. They share, their offices share in an office complex with another Muslim company just down the hall from them. They are watching them hire more employees. They're seeing their company grow. They're seeing the order coming to grow. So this other Muslim company knows this other Muslim owner and says, why is this happening? Why is your company doing so good? She tells him the story. Well, this is what's happening. So now the other Muslim company is now coming over for the prayer meeting on Mondays because they want to know why they're doing so well. And how do they point themselves to Jesus Christ? Guess what? Through one of his greatest attributes, the ability to work. So we cannot slough off coming in late 10 minutes every morning and then leave 5 minutes early. If you are coming in 10 minutes late every single day to work and leaving 5 minutes early, do not tell them that you're a Christian. Don't tell them you go to this church. Please tell them you are an atheist and you hate God. Please don't do that. Stop it. Because you are despising the most beautiful attribute of God is that you are anointed to display the glory of God. Can somebody give God some praise in this place and say, God, anoint us with that, Jesus. Woo, Jesus. Wow. So, let's go back. Can we go back to this I declare thing, Sarah? Can you find that for me? All right. All right. That, you just missed it. Go back there again. Whoo! Good, Sarah. All right. Can y'all kind of scoot to where you can see that just as close as you can? Let's stand up for a moment. Let's get as close as we can to the monitors so we can see this. Turn your head to the closest screen. That's instruction from your pastor, and you better behave and listen. All right. Can you see it? Everybody ready? We're going to declare this out loud together before we take a 10-minute break, okay? You ready? I declare God's favor and prosperity over my workplace. I declare God's blessings over my boss and coworkers. I declare that this will be a place of joy
peace, and unity. I declare safety and health for employees and their family members. I declare that my workplace will value what God values. In Jesus Christ's name, can we give God some praise in this place? Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, everyone. We want to get out of here about 11:55, so I'm going to give you, let's go at 11:05. We'll come right back up, and then we're going to have just one more brief teaching, and we're going to pray for you. If you want to go up and get the series and get those or get that card that's up there too, you go right ahead. God bless you.